Thank you, everyone.
Let's give Jason a hand.
So we have time for some Q&A. So if his talk has raised a few questions in your mind that you'd like to ask of him, feel free to put up your hand and I will bring the mic around so you can ask it. We're taking a recording of this talk, and so I want to make sure we capture the questions as well. So think about that. At the end of this Q&A, you'll be dismissed, of course, but we will also take a love offering for his ministry. You can write the check. If you're writing checks, you can just write them to either the apologetics form or I think just CMI, and then we'll get him one check at the end of that. So if there are questions, I will bring this mic around. And
Heinz, I think, yeah.
Okay, I think I've got it here. So, folks have a question? Yeah, back here.
Nothing too hard, please.
Thank you very much for your message last night and today. I really appreciate that. I also wanted to commend your father as well, because I have heard his message on Freemasons, and what a powerful message that it had, because my friends and I in Las Vegas, we had to deal with a lot of that, and the message that was so great. I just wanted to thank you. But do you continue these messages on like Freemasonry?
Yeah, we do. Our ministry really primarily deals with non-Christian cults, Christian world religions. We deal with a lot of various apologetic issues as well, but probably, you know, the heart of our ministry is in regards to the cults and non-Christian religions of the world. So we don't have a lot of those different resources with us this weekend, but if you go to our website, Jew3.com, you can find almost any group you can think of. We have lectures on. We have my father's book, Fast Facts on False Teachings, has a chapter on Freemasonry, all the major cults in the world, all the major religions in the world. If you go to our website, we also have an article section where we deal with, we have lots of free resources you can look at there, articles we've written. I've got an article I wrote on Freemasonry you can check out there. Stuff on Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, the New Age movement. So a whole host of issues that you can see all for free on our website, or even visit our online store if you'd like to purchase our DVD lectures, which would have the PowerPoint presentations included. And so thanks for your question.
Okay, other questions people may have? I just want to also let you know that Jason will be at the Apologetics Conference in Bellevue in April. Okay, and we have a brochure on that, and we will announce that on our website as well, Apologetics Forum. So I just want you to be aware of that. Other questions people may have? One more question, Nick.
Forgot.
I noticed that you have, CDs on the emerging church.
Yeah.
I was wondering what maybe you can give us an update on the emerging church, and you can.
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, so you know, if you're familiar with the emerging church, or maybe not familiar with it, the emerging church was a movement that started about 15 years, maybe closer to 20 years ago now, as a formal movement that was really about trying to bring a postmodern vision of Christianity into the church today. And back in the early days, they really tried to infiltrate traditional evangelical churches with a very postmodern vision of Christianity. And by postmodern, I mean a vision of Christianity that wouldn't affirm absolute truth, that wouldn't affirm that the Bible's the inerrant word of God, a vision of Christianity that allowed for the possibility of God speaking truth through other non-Christian religions in the world, a vision of Christianity that says God doesn't judge people or condemn people for different lifestyles, different, you know, sexual norms and choices, not sexual norms, it's like different sexual choices. And so it essentially was a very liberal version of Christianity couched in new postmodern philosophical terminology. And gained a lot of interest, unfortunately, in a lot of streams of evangelicalism, primarily because many of the leaders of this movement weren't very upfront in the early days about what their agenda was really all about. I share in my CD answering the, in my CD series answering the Postmodern Challenge, I go an hour long CD into my own personal testimony. I call it my journey into and out of the emergent church. I grew up in a conservative evangelical church in the Twin Cities, and my youth pastor there was a guy named Doug Padgett, who is one of the leading figures in the emergent church even to this day. And Doug was probably next to my father the greatest influence of my life. Just back in those days was just an incredible man of God, an incredible evangelist and apologist. But he was influenced by this postmodern thought, and he has today moved very far away from mainstream Christianity. But he was one of the early movers and shakers in this emergent church movement, and so he and I helped start a church in the Twin Cities called Solomon's Porch. I thought I was getting involved in bringing the gospel to the postmodern culture, and over the course of about a year and a half, I began to realize that Doug's agenda and the emergent church agenda was very different from what I wanted to do as an apologist and evangelist who, you know, obviously affirms the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But because of that relationship, you know, I was introduced to all the, I mean, I was in the inner circle with Brian McLaren and Rob Bell and Tony Jones and Mark Driscoll. I mean, all these guys, the key players in the emergent church, are all friends of mine. I don't have ongoing relationships with them today, but I mean, I was right there with the who's who of this movement. And so one of the things, and again, you talk about God's sovereignty and God's plan. Because of my background with my father's ministry, because of my background in discerning truth from error, I was able to see where this was going. And so I was one of the very first people to speak out publicly on the emergent church, and wrote a number of articles that were, you can still find them online, exposing the teachings of the emergent church, and my video series, my teaching series. And, you know, as a result of our ministry and then others who began to get the word out on the emergent church, more and more people became aware of what it was really all about. And so fortunately, the influence of the movement has really diminished today. They no longer exist as a formal organization. They had an organization, the Emergent Network, that has completely fallen apart, which is a good thing. But those guys are still out there working in various ways, infiltrating. Most of them are working with very liberal mainline Christian denominations today, selling a very progressive vision of Christianity. But fortunately, most of the evangelical church has recognized the error in that movement. But sadly, when I travel around the world, the influence of postmodernism is still seen in a whole host of ways in many churches because of, I think, many of the seeds that those guys planted in through their influence of their books and conferences and a lot of the widespread press that they were getting back in those days. So,
any other questions? Yeah.
I was just going to make a comment on what you're saying. Although blatantly, a lot of it has gone and dissipated, but the seeds that you're talking about and the rippling that we see in our churches, which is really, really alarming because a lot of people, because it's so subtle, but the songs that we're singing, you know, a lot of this, the Tomlin songs, these different songs that we're singing, and then these giant phenomenon that they have as far as on film and videos, you know, for the whole country to come in. Recently, we had that great big one, you know, where all the churches, you know, watching at the same time. But so much of the music that we're singing, you know, it's not gospel. And that's what's really, really scary, because the young people are the ones that are being affected the most by that. And sadly, I feel that churches are thinking to be able to reach our young people and to be able to have them still inclusive in our church, or our churches aren't going to die as the rest of us get older. You have to kind of water it down for that.
Yeah. Which is so,
very big fear of mine.
Which is so, it's interesting, because what all of the surveys are showing here in recent years is this postmodern vision and this watering down and this seeker-sensitive version of Christianity that has been so widely promoted over the last decade. All the most recent studies are showing that the churches that are growing the fastest today are the churches that are preaching the whole counsel of God's word, that are teaching biblical truth, that are teaching biblical doctrine. Young people especially, I'm on university campuses around the country, and young people, they are hungry. They want to know apologetics. They want to be equipped with why we believe what we believe. They want to know how they can live boldly for their faith in our world today. They're not afraid to represent Christ in the world. I mean, it's really cool. I think God is doing a major thing in our culture today that is kind of this undercurrent of revival that's starting to happen. And when I talk about revival, I'm not talking about man-made, you know, smog, fog and lights and all that. I'm talking about like legitimate hunger for God's word. You know, like the prophets of old, you know, there's a famine for the word of God. And I think that God is doing a movement where he is calling his remnant, the people in our country who are holding fast to God's word, to have a new and renewed hunger for it, and then bring that message to the world. So there are certainly many things to be concerned of, but there's a lot of things to be optimistic and hopeful to, too, as well. So keep just praying. Pray for revival. And if you're in a church that preaches the word faithfully, praise God for that, you know, and spread the news to others. Our church has been growing like crazy the last couple of years. We're not like a mega church, but we keep getting people from coming from mainline denominations, liberal Lutheran denominations, the Catholic Church. They're coming, and they sit in our teaching for 2-3 weeks hearing our messages, and they're saying, we've never heard the Bible taught like this before. And we're not like superstar preachers or anything. We're just teaching God's word. But people are hungry for it because it's not out there today. And so, man, if you find a church that's preaching the Bible faithfully, you praise God for that. You praise God for your pastor. And, you know, spread the word, because that's what the world needs today. So thanks for your comment.
Yeah. Okay. With that, I think we'll wrap it up.
I'll be around in the back if anyone would like to chat further.
Yeah, Jason and his son will be there. They probably have to leave at 10:30 or 10 o'clock at the latest, I think.
So we get to SeaTac for our flight home.
Yeah, you got to fight the traffic to get there. But again, thank you for sharing the message.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay.